Would. Genesis chapter 45. Now, if you were with us on last Sunday morning, then you know that we were talking a little bit about Joseph last Wednesday night. We were talking about Joseph, and we were talking about how that Joseph found mercy. Remember how we talked of that when he went into the dungeon, and we discussed that out of chapter 39. As we are coming into this time now, and we are in this season, this time where we are marching and heading toward our revival meeting. I talked to you a little bit about that on Wednesday, Sunday night. And again, I appreciate Brother Daniel and his understanding of our need to talk about that on Sunday night. I hope you all understand why now that was the case. But as we march toward this, I'm going to take these next few Wednesday nights and just deal with this matter of revival, why we need it, and how we need to pray for it. Folks, we need help from the Lord. And you know, we talked on Sunday night about how we so often ourselves, we dismiss revival. We get the idea we just don't need it. Revival is good for the preacher. Revival is good for the Sunday school teachers. Maybe the deacons, maybe the singers. But I just don't need it. And that's how wrong we are. What would happen in our town with this church if all of us got a hold of this truth? And if all of us really got a hold of God with this matter, we would see this place transformed. We really would. So I want you to be very intentional to give your attention, if you would, as we move into this, and then in the meeting, of course, pray for Brother McNeese as he prepares. And as he comes, remember Bombardi when he walks into the building, and fellas, throw your arm around him. Ladies, shake his hand and say, I've been praying for 40 days for you. And asking God to touch you as you come. Anoint him as a preacher of the Word of God and show him grace and kindness. And when we come to this area of Scripture right here in chapter number 45, I want to give you a quick recap. I'm not going to spend much time because I did this last Wednesday night. You know basically what's going on. Joseph, of course, went to tell his brothers and deliver supplies to his brothers. Jacob, his father, had sent him. Story really begins back in the chapter 35, 36, 37. He's going to find his brothers. And then, of course, his brothers, they strip him of his coat, dip it in blood, throw Joseph in a pit. They sell him as a slave. The Midianites, they carry him to Egypt. He's sold into Potiphar's home. And as we talked last Wednesday night, he was then accused wrongly of making advancements to Potiphar's wife. I am skeptical how I mention this. My daughter is not in here right now, so I will. She's into the Sight and Sound programs, you know, and productions that goes on up in Lancaster and also in Branson. And they're really good programs. They really are. The reason I say that when she's not here is because I try not to push it too much, because every time I do, I'm making another trip north or west to go and see them again. But anyway, I saw this scene a year or so ago during the Joseph production of that, and the scene that they had of Potiphar's wife making these advancements to Joseph. It was very real, and it must have been a very intense moment when this was unfolding. Of course, he ran, leaving his garment in her hands. And of course, she makes these accusations and Potiphar throws him in prison. And that's what we talked about last week, how we can still see God's mercy even in our misery. Time goes on. Of course, he comes back and due to some fulfilling or some interpreting of some dreams, and he is now second in command of all of Egypt. Years and years have passed. The famine has come. The brothers have come and are now bowing at Joseph's feet. The very same brothers that sold him as a slave. What a picture. What a scene it is. Now, you've got to remember to understand what we're going to talk about here for just a few moments tonight, and then we'll pray. You've got to understand that in the Bible, you have three Josephs that are given that were so prevalent in the life of Christ. It's a fascinating story. You've got Joseph, the husband of Mary, earthly father of Jesus. That Joseph carried Jesus in his birth. Then you've got Joseph of Arimathea, that one that carried Christ down from the cross, took him down with Nicodemus. He's the Joseph that carried Jesus in his death. But then you have got Joseph of the Old Testament that we're introduced to here. That is the Joseph that carried Jesus in his life. In other words, Joseph of the Old Testament is a type of Jesus Christ and what Christ was going to do. So as we come to chapter 45, that's something very important to remember. His brothers are now bowing before him. Of course, all the story, the drama that went along with that, Joseph has revealed himself to his brothers of who he is now. And he's sending his brothers back with all of the material that they're going to need to live. He says, go tell my dad that I'm alive. I want to see him. And so when we come to Genesis chapter 45, look, if you're physically able, go ahead and stand to your feet if you would. I ran out the door and I left my large print Bible on my desk. I love this Bible that I'm using, but the problem is the print gets smaller every time I open it. So I'm going to do this the best that I can here. But pick it up with me in verse number 25. The Bible says, and they went up, that is the brothers, went up out of Egypt. And they came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob, their father. Verse 26, and told Jacob, saying, Joseph is yet alive. Imagine how the drama must have been mounting in this scene unfolding. He goes on to say he's governor over all of Egypt, all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted. Why? Well, he believed them not. Then they took him, in verse 37, they took Jacob, their father, and they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons. Now, I want you to keep that word, this word we're about to see, the word right here that we're about to see. He saw the wagons which Jacob had sent to carry him, to bring him back home. The spirit of Jacob, their father. Tell me the next word. Revived. Now, look at the final verse of the chapter. And Israel, that is Jacob, said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. Now look back at verse number 26 again. And told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive. And he is governor over all the land of Egypt. Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And then when you go on into the next verse, we see that they continue to tell him all the words of Joseph, all the things that Joseph said, the wagons that he had sent. And he lets them know, I am alive. And he's making it very clear to him. And I just want to talk to you for a little while about this this evening, just simply a thought about how that we need to wake up. Let's all wake up. Let's all wake up. Let's all be revived. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. I have a lot on my mind right now and a lot of different things that I could share with you and will share with you over time about what our youth conference was like. There were a lot of ups. There were a lot of downs, of course, primarily ups. But as we were at youth camp, one thing that you always struggle with is when you have teenagers that are going to bed at 1 o'clock in the morning after a 15-hour day, they're having to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. They're operating off of 5 to 6 hours of sleep. Let me tell you, they don't want to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. I cannot attest, of course, for the young ladies, but I can tell you about the guys that were in my group. There was one particular in whom will remain nameless, but he just would not wake up. And it didn't matter what I did. He just would not wake up. And I pulled every stunt that I possibly could to wake this young man up. He just wouldn't do it. So finally, on the final day, I had resorted to my final options. So finally, when he had, because I got him up about 45 minutes early. Finally, when he'd exhausted all his time, he had about 10 minutes left to get ready. I went in there, I picked up the couch, and literally dumped him in the floor. Of course, he was sleeping on the couch. That boy still would not get up. Still didn't wake up. So then it involved something a little bit more drastic. It really did. But he finally did get up and went about his day, and he was fine. But sometimes some of us are harder to awaken than others. As a matter of fact, I think some of you tonight need to wake up. All right? Some of us sometimes a little bit harder to awaken than others. Here's what I want you to get. I think that's certainly the case with us spiritually as well. Many times we as Christians, it's just harder for us to spiritually wake up. I'm not talking about being awakened out of our death in sin, being dead in our sin. It's all I'm talking about. Somebody that's saved, you are just dead inside. You've lost the glory. You've lost the wonder of it all. You need to be revived. You need to experience a move of God again. You need to experience what God only can and will do for you. I bet every one of us here today are among that crowd that is just hard to wake up. And we need to be revived. Looking at this, there's three things I want to share with you about Jacob and how the Bible says that the spirit of Jacob revived. The first thing I want you to think about when considering this thought of being revived or revival, think first of all with me about how that it was a personal revival. It was a personal revival. It says the spirit of who? Jacob. Their father revived. The spirit of Jacob. You see, the spirit of everybody else was not revived at this. It was Jacob particularly that needed to have an experience of revival in his life. Jacob needed some help. He needed that experience. Now, remember I just told you about how the Joseph was the Old Testament picture of Christ. He was a type of Jesus Christ. Everything having to do with Joseph was a picture of Christ's life. It was pointing toward what Christ was going to do for us on the cross of Calvary. You've got to keep that in mind about what's going on. But now remember this as well. Whether it be family, whether it be friends, or whether it be anybody else in the scene of these stories that we are looking at in this area of Scripture in Genesis and Joseph's life, everybody else continued to live their lives following the awful experience that happened with Joseph. Joseph's brothers kept living their life. All of Egypt kept going along, didn't even know what had happened to Joseph. They didn't even know him. Canaan kept on going along. The friends of Joseph, sure, they were sorrowful, but their lives kept on going. And in many cases, nothing ever really changed. But there was one person, there was a father named Jacob, whose life was never the same. The fact of the matter is, after Joseph was thought to be dead by Jacob, there was a part of Jacob that just died. Jacob saw no reason whatsoever to live anymore. Remember how Jacob loved Joseph so much. Gave him that coat of many colors. His brothers were so jealous of him as a result. And Jacob saw no reason at all to live anymore. There was a part of Jacob that just died. Fizzled out. He was done. See, the reason many of us today, we just need revival, spiritually speaking, is there's just a part of us that's just dead inside. I tell you, life has just been so hard. Your family has just been so difficult on you. Maybe COVID has discouraged you to the point, and I actually spoke with someone one time who said that the circumstances of COVID have sent me into such a spiritual depression that I don't even feel like living anymore. That is a demonic attack, as all of this stuff has been. A demonic attack on the mind. This is a Christian. This is a believer, somebody faithful to the things of God, has been used by God. But the reason they said that is because they see no future hope. And I mentioned it on Sunday night in prayer meeting, and I mentioned it a little bit on Sunday night in the service. Friends, if you're looking for normal again, forget that. Normal is never coming back again. No, Ralph Sexton said, normal's not coming back, Jesus is coming back. That's what you look to. That's where your hope is actually found. Now, normal of what we always knew it as is over at this point. Okay, it's over. Now, COVID may be a little bit behind us. We're hoping and we're praying. There'll always be something else. And I don't mean to depress you or discourage you, but let me just remind you of this. The Bible says it's only going to wax worse and worse and worse. as Christ begins to make his way back, things are not going to get any better when it comes to this. And it's actually referring to pestilence there. We were talking earlier about this new thing that the media's got going on. They've had going on for a little while, this monkeypox thing, you know, that's coming out. Let me tell you something. I don't think we're going to have a big problem with monkeypox. It's all, you know, it's all media, you know, a hype and everything. But if we do have a problem with a breakout of monkeypox in this church, we have a whole new issue that we need to talk about, okay? We're going to have to address, all right? But there will be something else that's going to come. The Bible assures us of that. So friends, you cannot get so beat up and so depressed and all of these things that you lose sight of who we are. You lose sight of the future that we as God's people really do have. The children of God have got reason to rejoice. We've got reason to smile, reason to shout, reason to keep pressing on, reason to go and keep telling the world about the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been forgiven. But the reason that so many of us are so dark inside and struggling so badly in all of this, it's simple, folks. We have truly forgotten how real, how good our God really is. He's been so faithful to us, so good to us, and we have forgotten about that. It's kind of, to a certain degree, been to many believers out of sight, out of mind. And the reason we need to be revived is because there's a part of us, inside of us, that has just died spiritually. We need a revival. This word revive, of course, it is a making alive. It is bringing back to life. Could I encourage you tonight? Don't think that you don't need this. You need a touch from God. I need it. We need to be revived. So we see that this was a personal revival. You see, you can't sit around and pray that God will revive the preacher, although I hope you will. You can't sit around and pray that God will revive your spouse, and I bet many of us do, especially her. She prays God to revive her spouse. You can't sit around and pray about God reviving somebody else. You can't fix that. But you need it. It needs to be a personal thing. You've heard the old saying, revival all starts with drawing a circle and standing in the middle of it and saying, God, revive everything in the middle of this circle. Don't worry about the problems of this person, how messed up they are, and how that they are just not living for God. They're not doing this right or that right. You worry about you. Ask God to revive your old cold and your old carnal heart. We must have a personal revival. But in this, it was also a prompt revival. When Jacob saw the evidence, get this, when Jacob saw the evidence that Joseph was alive. The wagons that had been sent. He could see the finger work of Joseph all over that. He saw the character of Joseph. Boy, there's a message right there. I was thinking about that. I can't get into. He could see the fingerprints of character. All he had to do was see it. To know that his boy was alive. He saw his fingerprints all over it. And when he saw the evidence of Joseph's life and that he was alive, he was immediately, the Bible gives us no hint that he had to sleep on this. Bible gives us no hint that he was going to have to go and find some other measure of evidence at all. No, he was immediately revived when he saw the evidence of Joseph. Remember, Joseph was a type of Jesus Christ. So when he saw the evidence of God and evidence of a move of God, his heart was revived. I tell you another reason why that you and I are so cold inside, so dark inside, so discouraged in so many ways, is simply because we've come to the point where the evidence of a move of God is just nothing to us anymore. Boy, I can remember a time when God would shake this house.
Amen.
I mean, God would move. We would have people shouting and praising the Lord. They wouldn't get out of the altars. Do you remember one time at about 1 o'clock, we shut down the service and left people in the altars. Left them in the altars. locked the door and everybody else left. A move of God. I fear sometimes we are just living in the smoke and we're satisfied with that. We just don't want the fire anymore, as we were talking about Sunday night. If you've been affiliated with this church for any extended amount of time, you've been around some moves of God. You have. The past two Sundays were great. We thank the Lord for it. There were times, folks, when you could not contain us in this building. Those of you that have been around, you know what I'm talking about. God would move in such a way. Conviction was so real that people would get up out of their seats. I remember one Sunday sitting right here behind Andy, get up and literally hit people in the back of the head. Hit Terry Ellis in the back of the head, who was here preaching that morning, getting to the altar to get saved. A move of God. Conviction. What's happened to us? Why have we gotten so accustomed to just the normality? This is what bothers me so bad about Christianity as a whole, the modern church movement, that the independent Baptists are right in the middle of that as well. We've gotten so hung in the routine and the tradition and just going through the motions, scheduling out our services, that we are missing a move of God. The evidence of it is frankly all around us. I could give you 19 names of evidences of a move of God in the past 3 weeks. We ought to be swinging from the rafters at what God has done. But like I mentioned Sunday night, something happened. A demonic attack hit the church. We were talking on the way to church tonight, Melissa and I, about some of those that experienced such a good move of God, got so much help from the Lord, haven't even been at church since then. Not their fault. Sickness. I'm not saying it's their fault. Can you not see how the devil's using this stuff? We have got to pray. We've got to beg God that He will intervene. Jacob here, though, he had a prompt revival. I mean, his life was immediately turned right side up. Everything had been upside down. As soon as he saw the evidence of a move of God, that type of Christ, he was revived. There's a disconnect within us, though. We do see some moves of God, but it's not touching us anymore. Why is that? Has God changed? God has not changed. God has not left you. You have left God. God has not left me. I have left God. He's in the same place. He is the same God that moved in Paul's day, the same God that moved in Jacob's day, the same God that Elijah called down fire with on Carmel, the same God that we've seen move in this place, the same God that saved those 19 people, the same God we've experienced, but yet a little bump in the road came along. And it's almost like I need to put y'all on life support tonight when the service began. We just get so distracted. We need revival. And when there's a move of God, it will be a prompt thing. We'll jump up and we'll say, God showed up. God did this in my heart. God did this in my life. There was an evidence of the move of God that I have just experienced. If you study this story a little bit further, you will learn that Jacob was just about at the point of death. When we come right here to the end of chapter number 45. He's just about done. He's about to die. He had grieved himself to death. I was in the hospital in the moments following Jerry Young's death. And his son works at the hospital. And we were having a conversation about what is it that actually that the Lord used that carried Jerry home. And there's a lot of things we could talk about there that they had suggested. But one of the things that they said is he just died of a broken heart. Jerry lost so much. Wife, Brendan Starr, just in such a brief amount of time, he's just had nothing left. He's just ready to go to heaven. And we can't understand that. We really can't. But if the Lord tarries, there'll come a day when we just got nothing left in this old world. And I'm seeing these older saints of God now, they're having to live in a world they just don't want to be in anymore. That's where Jerry was. Oh, Jacob right here. He's just in a spot where he just didn't have anything to live for anymore. His heart would be broken. Heart had grieved for so long. He just was ready to go home to his reward in paradise. That's what he wanted. Jacob was literally at the point of death. And folks, he would have died. He would have died of a broken heart. In other words, what I'm telling you right now is God woke him up right in the nick of time. Right in the nick of time. Do you know that there is a time? Please hear my heart now. Do you know that there is a time that if we will just live in our same dead spiritual state, I'm talking about saved people here, if we will just live in our same dead spiritual state, and we're just committed that we're not going to do anything for the Lord, there will come a time when God will take His hand off of us. "You're useless to me," He'll say. "You're not doing the work." Do you know that if we continue to live in that state as a church, God will take the candlestick and He will give it to a church down the street that does want to do something for God? He will do that. If we are just determined to stay and keep our status of just going through the motions, living in our tradition, our routines, not seeing the evidence of the move of God, and when God does move, it's just not touching us or reaching us anymore. If we want to keep doing that, God will say there's a church down the street that has a little remnant of people that's praying and burning. And God will begin to move. Now listen to me. I believe God did that for us back a few years ago. And we've seen a move of God here. God's transformed this place. To God be the glory for it. It's been remarkable to watch how the Lord has moved. I'm looking around. Pardon me right now. More than half of the people in this room right now on a Wednesday night are all new people, and half of our church is out. God has just been good to us. Poured His goodness out. But I believe it all went back, Brother Randy, to some people just had a burden to do something for God. And God saw fit to give us a light for a little while. To give us a voice for a little while. Do you know I could take you in any direction right now and I could introduce you to church after church after church. I could introduce you to some that are very close to my heart. Church after church after church that are no longer anymore. I received a text message, a picture from Pastor Shad just a couple of days ago. He's on vacation and he stopped at some place and they got out to stretch and he looked over in the distance and there was an old church with vines grown up all over it, and he was curious about it, so he walked over to the church, and the church, as he looked in the door of it, it was built back in the 1800s, he would guess. As he looked into the door of it, he saw that there were still pews, there was still a pulpit. Cobwebs everywhere. Hadn't been occupied in decades, he said. Glass was all busted out. Shot me a picture of the inside and the outside. And he said, "My heart broke." He said, "I was reminded of how we need revival, because there was once a day somebody had a burden to start a church there. The church flourished at one point because you can see that there was seating that was added. But now somebody somewhere made a mistake." Right. Yeah. A decision was made somewhere. And now a church is closed. Time and time again, this has happened. It will happen here if you and I don't get revived. if we don't experience a personal revival. You have no idea how close you may be right now. I may be to that spiritual point of death, that moment when God removes His hand from us and says, I'm not going to use you anymore. I'm not going to speak through you anymore. I'm not going to touch your life again because you have forgotten me. Right. Your first love, the Bible calls it, Revelation 3. The Bible says, you've turned your way. You're back on the first love. You have no idea how close we may be to that. We need a personal revival. It needs to be a prompt revival. And in Jacob's case, we can see that it was a permanent revival. If you go back and you study, you look at the final verse of the chapter. He said, let me go see Joseph. Let me go be with God. That's what he's saying. Let me go be with the type of Christ. Until I die, before I die. And as you study it, you know that he lived in the presence of that type of Christ for the rest of his life. He lived in the presence of that type of Christ for the rest of his life. In other words, Jacob stayed revived. He didn't have to keep going back and back to the well to get re-revived. God was back in his life. The presence of the Lord was there. And he lived in it for the rest of his days. That's how real that this revival was in Jacob's life. It was permanent. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful? If starting tonight, we made a decision, we're going to have a personal revival. Amen. Each one of us needs that. Amen. Each one of us does. And then that is going to be prompt. It's starting right now. Immediately, I'm going to experience the presence of God in my personal life. That's where it starts. And that it was a permanent thing. Wouldn't it be great if tonight, the weeks leading up to this meeting or during the special meeting, that we never had to go back to the filling station again. God got a hold of us so much. Amen. We lived in the good presence of God for the rest of our lives. And God used us. I hope you want it. I hope that you want it. Let's pray for a little while about that, okay? And let's ask the Lord to help us. Let's ask the Lord to revive us personally. Let's ask Him to do it promptly. Let's ask Him to do it permanently. Ask Him to touch our lives. Mr. Mickey, Brother Timothy, one of y'all can flip back and forth if you'd like, but if you could just give us something. I encourage you to find you a spot right down here. Folks, just